Welcome to Education Conversations, where we share ideas on education today and explore ways to help students and teachers thrive. Thank you for tuning into this episode, sponsored through the generosity of Sunset Automotive Group. No doubt, teachers are the backbone of the outstanding public education we provide here in Sarasota County, and we celebrate them all year round. But on December 11th, the Education Foundation hosted its annual Ignite Education Teacher of the Year Gala, where all 47 Teachers of the Year were honored. The three finalists, elementary, middle, and high school teachers, were recognized, along with the Innovation Teacher of the Year. And the district finalist was announced. Today, Jennifer is joined by the three finalists, Becky Hoffman, Holly Pizzatoro, and Andy Harshman, Sarasota County's 2026 Teachers of the Year.
All right, listeners, this is a really special podcast because today we have our three 2026 Teacher of the Year finalists, one of which was actually recognized just recently as the District Teacher of the Year. And so we invited all three of them to come be a part of our conversations and just so you all could learn a little bit more about them and why we feel teaching is one of the greatest callings of all the professions. I think you're going to be moved. I think you're going to learn, and certainly I hope that you walk away feeling super inspired by them. So first of all, I want to introduce Becky Hoffman. She is the Elementary School Teacher of the Year. So Becky, if you could just share with us what school you represent, what grade you teach, and if you could think of one comment about just what motivates you or what inspires you in your teaching profession, share that. And you don't have to say anything too crazy because I know that was a heavy question, but I'm going to start with you, Becky. Go ahead.
Hello. I am at Pineview and I teach fifth grade. And I think the most inspiring thing is the connections I see and the collaboration I see between students and also through teachers. When teachers collaborate, I just see amazing things that happen in the classroom. And I love to be part of that.
That is so wonderful. How many years have you been teaching?
25 years this year.
Yeah, that's really impressive. Our second guest that we have here is Holly Pizzatoro. She is from what school and what grade? And share with us also what inspires you about teaching.
My name is Holly Pizzatoro, and I'm the art teacher at McIntosh Middle School. And the thing that inspires me the most is seeing the growth in the students. To see them go from not being able to practically draw a stick figure to creating a portrait that is realistic, it's wonderful because it's so immediate. The successes that I see, they're so before me all the time. So that's really, really fun.
It says to me, you get to see a visual representation of a child's growth and development.
Yes, I do.
And you see it in an artistic, beautiful way.
Yes.
I mean, that's like their personality all coming out as well. So
yes.
Kudos to you and congratulations on that. And our third guest that we have is...
I'm Andy Harshman, and I teach at Sarasota High School, where I run the MAST program there, which is a STEM research program.
And Andy, you got to get really comfortable with your new title that you also received. So share with our listeners your full title as recognized by Superintendent Terry Connor just recently.
So I was named the 2026 Sarasota County District Teacher of the Year.
That's an amazing accomplishment. So congratulations and welcome to the podcast, all three of you.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm so glad y'all are here. So let me just kind of open up the conversation. I will say that Teacher of the Year, the Ignite celebration, is one of our favorite events. And it's not just an event. Certainly, it started off by the nomination process that you had, even with your school principal and with your fellow teachers and everything. So what does it mean to you? And how surprised were you when you were actually the one nominated?
When I was first nominated, I was quite surprised. I've been part of this at the school, and I did not realize that my name was even thrown out there until they walked through my door while I was teaching one day, and they had flowers and a balloon, and I was the Elementary Teacher of the Year for Pineview. So then at Pineview, it's a little different because we have three schools in one. So there is an elementary, a middle, and a high school teacher of the year for Pineview. So I was just really excited to be the elementary school teacher. And then there was a runoff and I had the door open again. And I didn't even know that was happening. It was like the week later and they had a dozen roses this time. And I started crying and my students were just so excited. They were like standing and giving me a standing ovation. And that was the beginning of just so much energy. And the day that the bus rolled up, I really didn't know what was going on. We had some fake assembly, which I didn't know was a fake assembly. And then the entire bus of people and my family and all of the fifth grade students and my colleagues being there, there was just so much energy in that room that has sustained me and reignited my passion and my drive. And I'm just so grateful for this honor.
That's a great story. And I think all of y'all were under the auspices of a pseudo assembly. Did anyone have, were you suspect, either of you, Holly, Andy?
No, the same thing at McIntosh. They had the pseudo assembly. And I remember vaguely that a message had come out that we were having a spirit assembly on Friday. So Thursday, I'm going, wait a minute, I think we have assembly tomorrow. I swear there was something in the announcements about that. So I had to go back and look. You know, the same as Becky, I showed up, the kids in our band were playing. And the whole school was there. And then everybody came on the bus and it was just this big giant parade. And I remember you started speaking. And at some point in that conversation, I realized that this was about the middle school district teacher of the year. And because it's what it, there was nothing else that met that criteria, right, what you were saying, you know, it was just completely overwhelming. Number one, I think that, you know, we're in our classroom and we try to do our best all the time as teachers. But our feedback is our students, and they love us anyways. And so to be recognized through all of these other means as we're doing what we're supposed to be doing, we're pouring into these kids, we're enabling them to grow in the ways that we should be doing. You know, that's amazing to me, because getting that outside recognition has given me a lot of confidence as an educator. And it's just extremely special and very, very unexpected.
That's so great to hear. Yeah. So what about you, Andy? What was your experience?
So as far as the district high school teacher of the year, they kind of made me plan my own party at my school.
Because you did the drum line, is that why?
Right. Well, that kind of also, they decided the way to do this was to have an assembly for a student who I had nominated to be the Sunshine State Scholar, and she had won. And they're like, okay, we're going to do an assembly. We're going to make a big thing. So I need you to get I'm the science department chair at Sarasota High School. They're like, we need you to get every science teacher into that room with their classes. And I'm like, oh man, they're not going to be happy about this, right? They're going to have tests and labs and stuff like that. So I'm on the text. I'm texting all of my science family. I'm like, listen, you guys, we just need to get there. You know, it's going to be special for her and all that kind of stuff. And so I get them there. And also I run the drum line at Sarasota High School after school. And they said, can you get the drum line to come there? We think it'd be cool if they were there to, celebrate her. So we got them all there. And they did. They did a celebration for her. And then all of a sudden the back doors open and all these people came in from the bus. And I was just like a little overwhelmed. And oh my goodness. And like, you know, my kids were so excited. And it was cool having my class there because I brought my class over. And then I brought the drum line came over with the band director. And it was just a very, very special moment. I was completely shocked. I go to work and I love my job. And I feel like I just get to go have fun at the same time as making a difference with my kids. And I, the kind of science research and stuff I do, it can be hard, but it is so rewarding. And so my reward comes from the kids. And just to have this was incredibly fulfilling, I would say, and incredibly inspiring and really fuel for the rest of my career here, teaching and leading kids. And so it was just an amazing, amazing moment.
All three of you were so consistent on just the way it helped to maybe rejuice, re-energize, and affirm what you guys do every single day. And that's why I'm always so impressed by teachers, because of the incredible humility that you bring to the work. And so then you're gobsmacked when like someone's saying like, really, we're really grateful for you. So I find that just awestruck in the way in which you all kind of take care of your work. So for many of you all, maybe it was a calling. Maybe you have, you know, family history. Maybe you wanted to go in a completely different direction. You each have a very unique path. So how has teaching and moving into this profession shaped you in ways that you were not expecting? Andy, can I maybe start with you?
Yeah, sure. So my dad was a teacher for 34 years at Sarasota High School and was a chemistry teacher. But that's not what I went out to do. I graduated from Sarasota High and graduated from the MASS program, which was awesome. And I went to college, and I went to college for engineering, chemical engineering. And I did that, and I got my degree, my bachelor's degree, and I worked for a year in industry, went back and got my master's, and then had the opportunity after, you know, looking around for a little bit, there's an opportunity for the two science positions at Sarasota High School. And that was pretty cool because my wife and I both needed jobs, and she's also a chemical engineer. We actually met in high school and I went to college together. And so we both said, hey, let's go try this out. Let's see if this is something we like to do. And wow, it was just amazing. It was different. I didn't just jump in. Back then, the school board had an alternative certification program within the school system and two incredible mentors, Lori Verrier and Sid Quinn. And they came and like really taught us classroom management, all the things that I hadn't learned in chemical engineering school, the stuff that I really needed to know. I knew the science. I knew the math. I knew the stuff I needed to teach the kids as far as knowledge goes. But really, when it comes to learning how to manage a classroom and how to teach and how to make a difference, they really lit that spark. And it really grew. And so it became a passion and just has developed over time more and more and more. It becomes way less as the years go on. It's become less and less and less about the science and more and more and more about the growth of the kids.
Oh, well stated. Holly, what about you?
When I was 18 years old, I declared that I'm going to be an art teacher. And I actually received the Carolyn Mock Scholarship for Art Education at the time. Well, I got into college and I shifted gears and I went into a business and design field instead. And so I worked in that for many years and I did many other types of positions, but I always did work with children, whether I was coaching, whether I was teaching after school, whether I was a camp counselor. I just always found myself in the classroom. Well, finally, I did start substitute teaching, followed my kids to school, actually. I ended up in a full-time position as an ESE teacher. And that really, really, really taught me classroom management.
Right, right.
Very, very intense classroom management. And it's funny because I use those strategies every single day. And Sarah Klein, actually, she was a behavioral coach at the school I was at, and she taught me a tremendous amount about classroom management. And when they were recently asking me, how are you managing your classroom like this? You know, these are middle schoolers and, you know, and it's just a very, very busy, fast pace. And I said, it's that ESC background. That's what it is. That did prepare me for a large portion of what I do, but I still wasn't in art education, which is where my heart was. And after taking it aside to pursue my own art and jewelry business for about 12 years, the classroom just kept calling. And so I finally am the place where I knew 18-year-old me knew I was supposed to be.
So you finally surrendered to your calling.
I literally did. And I have never felt so alive. I really haven't. I work ridiculous hours, 70, 80 hours a week, ridiculous hours. And it doesn't even, I mean, I'm tired and I'm busy, but it doesn't ever feel like work.
It doesn't deplete you.
It doesn't. I mean, not in that mental way. Sometimes I need more sleep, you know, but not in that mental way because I'm just getting everything all prepared and all in place and art's so physical that there's just a lot of materials management. So for the kids just be able to come in and not have to hesitate because that's not the classroom management you learn. It can be no waiting. And it's really just it's a full circle thing. And I am 100% now fulfilled, and it's wonderful.
And what about you, Becky?
Well, my story is that I did not think about teaching as a career ever when I was younger. And I went into college as an art major and decided that it was going to be very difficult at that time for me to make a career out of art, especially because I was not thinking about becoming a teacher. Bounced around a couple other ideas, possibly being a lawyer. My dad said to me one day that I should just do what I love and everything else would fall into place. So English was something I've always loved reading, always loved writing. And so I became an English major. And I thought, okay, well, if I decide to become a lawyer, that's a good path. I took what they now call a gap year. And when I came back to my home area, I ended up opening a restaurant with my mom, and we worked that together for 7 years. And I felt a great connection with the customers at my place of business, but it wasn't as rewarding as what I felt I needed. So my husband suggested I go into teaching, go back and get my master's in teaching, which I did because he saw his mom was a kindergarten teacher. I think he saw how fulfilled she was with her job, and he, knowing who I was and what I needed in life, he saw that in me. So I started as a middle school teacher, and I had some amazing role models who helped me to realize that behavioral aspect and how if you can get control of a classroom, you get that respect from the kids. And it's amazing what they will do and how they rise to the expectations that you set for them when that foundation is there. I'm definitely fulfilled, definitely tired. Elementary is a different beast. It is tiring. There's a lot of mental stimulation for myself. There's a lot of emotional investment, but I cannot imagine doing anything different.
So listening to you all, it sounds so much like you have the head knowledge. So the content is there. And I think, Andy, you were referencing that even early in your career. But what developed and what kind of brought forward was the heart, the essence of the teaching, and that all is driven by the focus and care for the students. Would you all say that's
absolutely?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So education has changed also over the years. And and what we're also seeing are teachers who are not as inspired and committed and dedicated as you all are. There's definitely a sense of some teachers that are moving away from the profession, and we're working very hard to retain the teachers because teachers like you all are a diamond in the rough. I mean, a diamond in the rough. And that doesn't mean there's not many of you, but we're seeing certainly more are leaving the profession. So I would love to hear from you all. What would you say to a teacher that is at a crossroads? We hear it often. Teachers love being in the classroom and love the essence of the work. Sometimes it's the noise that overpowers that piece. And so we're just trying to find that balance. So I just don't know if you have the secret sauce or the special message, but I just want to open the floor to any one of you to respond to that.
I'll respond to that.
That's Holly.
Yes. That's funny you mentioned the noise, because that's what was ringing through my mind when you were speaking. And it's forget the noise and focus on the kids. And sometimes you have to, like we have to, discipline our thoughts. And whether it's, you know, you want to call it positive self-talk or you know, positivity is kind of the new term for it. But it's really about choosing where you focus. So I'm just like I always tell my students, you know, you choose whether you're having a good day, you know, and they're like, well, I don't know how I feel today. I'm like, okay, well then feel good. You know, if you're deciding how you feel, decide you feel good. I guess the same goes for the big people. We tell our kids to choose these things and we need to choose them too. So yes, there's a lot that's happening, and there's always a lot that's happening, and there always has been. But look at the kids and put your focus there and do your best to drown out the noise.
I remember someone saying to me one time, pre-decide. So I appreciate mm-hmm. the way in which you're giving that intentionality to that. What would either of you share?
I feel I 100% agree with what Holly said. And I think that from my perspective, there are so many demands on teachers. And I feel that in the 25 years of experience that I have, a lot of the fun has been taken out of the classroom. And if teachers who are thinking about leaving can figure out a way to infuse that fun back into their lessons and get creative and lean into the people who work with them and try to find creative ways to have the students experience and meet the standards, but have some experiences in the classroom. So it's not constantly, you know, I feel like we're always testing and you know, whether it's just a formative assessment in the classroom or just these standardized tests or the state tests, it's hard to find that fun. I mean, we all chose to be in this profession for a reason, and we've all had fun in this profession. Otherwise, we would not still be here. So if somebody's a seasoned teacher and they're thinking about leaving, find the fun, find people to lean into, collaborate. That's my message.
It's a good message to go with.
Yeah. So the testing thing is, it has been since I, you know, began teaching, has always been a thing and a point of contention. And I think sometimes we focus on the actual test so much, and we take kids out of the classroom to test an awful lot. And that does interrupt instructional time and things like that. And so that can be like, that can be a very stressful thing, especially in high school. If you're in a tested content area, it becomes a very, very stressful thing and can lead to a lot of anxiety from the teacher and things like that. I think what we really need to focus on is teaching the standards and teaching the content. And when you get to that and you create a lesson on that and less on, hey, this is the type of question that's going to be on the test, or we need to do a billion practice tests or things. But if we really work on different ways of assessing instead of the one way that the state's going to look at, I think that then becomes an environment where you can bring in yourself, your personality, and have a good time. Because I will tell you, I am not the same teacher my father was. And my father was a very strict teacher. I'm a little bit less so, but he was super effective. And I feel like I'm pretty effective in the classroom. And every teacher is different. And I think when we try to shoebox everybody in and think that we're all going to be teaching the same way and we're all going to be effective doing the same exact thing, we lose a lot of the passion and what makes teaching great. And you've got all these different teachers who have all different teaching styles. And I think if the teachers are allowed to bring themselves into the classroom and their personalities and develop themselves, I think you're going to see a lot more retention. So if I was, you know, talking to a younger teacher, I'd be like, listen, be yourself in the classroom. Yes, meet the standards. But if you meet the standards and you do it in your way and you're effective at it, they'll be fine on the test, because we're going to be doing exactly what we're supposed to be doing, which is teaching them the stuff that's going to be there.
That's a great response. So I love this yes and from Andy, and the way in which the, again, just tying in the content knowledge and allowing the creativity, the personal style of the teaching to be there. Becky, you spoke about the collaboration of the teachers coming together and coming and thinking of creative ideas to work together. And then Holly, you know, you spoke about pre-deciding and making that intentional choice. So I love how the three of you all are saying, even in the midst of challenges, and every sector has challenges, I mean, that there's nothing that's unlike this, but you all three have absolutely shown how to rise above and to lean into each other's expertise and galvanize the student potential. That was a very thoughtful response. So flipping it over, what's something that surprised you most that you really enjoy about teaching that you didn't expect?
I didn't expect to have the connections that I do with the students. I was never one to even babysit or have connections when I was a kid with younger kids. One of the things about Pineview, which is really cool, is that as a fifth grade teacher, my students are still on campus after they leave. So in the past, it's been hard. You know, I'll have a sibling and that sibling will come back and see me occasionally. But at Pineview, I have that opportunity for my prior students to come just to sustain those relationships. And those bonds are really, really strong.
Because you get the opportunity of those fifth grade students who are now graduating and beyond. Yes. And you've seen them rise through the grades. That is a very special time.
I actually ran into, I was doing some Christmas shopping and I ran into one of my students who I taught fifth grade at Ashton in 2016. I saw her and got to catch up with her. And that was just, she's pre-med now. And just to know I was her science teacher way back when, it's so rewarding. It's amazing.
That is wonderful.
I'm going to piggyback off that because it's very funny. This happened today. So after the school board meeting, my elementary school son who goes to Southside, they were having their holiday party today. And so I got to go see the last half hour of that, which I wouldn't normally be able to do because I'm in the middle of class, but I had a sub in the class. So I stopped by there and walked in and we had fun. And then we're leaving and all of a sudden, this young woman walks out of the door. Her mother teaches there. And she had graduated from Sarasota High School, I guess, 6 years ago, which made me feel super old. But I got to like catch up with her, find out what she's doing. And she was just so happy to see me and me to see her. And it was just like a random chance encounter, but the same thing. She's just doing great things with her life. You know, she told me what she was doing, which wasn't science at all. And she was in my research program, but she's also working with the undergraduate research program as like an advisor. And I'm like, this is incredible just to see that you're doing this and see what they're able to accomplish. And I've had so many interactions with kids after they've left and seen, you know, the amazing thing that they've gone on and done. And just to think that I may have had a small part in that is so, so empowering and also invigorating.
Yeah, for sure. Holly, have you experienced that same level of just nourishment to the soul?
Oh, most definitely. I really was very surprised by seeing the level at which like a middle schooler can do art. I really, going into this, believed that I was going to be a high school art teacher because I, coming from the world of professional arts, I felt that that's where I could be most useful. And I have found how, first of all, much I love teaching middle school and what these students are really capable of when they're just given some skill and some ability and right to be courageous and explore. So I've been surprised by their skill level and really by how much I love the age.
Yeah, I remember on your video, even one of the students, it started off by, she's the reason I get up in the morning.
Aww.
And I thought, oh my gosh, to hear a student say that. I just, you want your own child to say that. And you would feel like my life is complete if my own child, but you all have an exponential factor out there of being able to touch hundreds of lives. So just imagine how many people you have helped to mold.
And the funny thing is, you know, I had no idea he felt that way. I know he shows up for class every day. I've had him for 2 years now, which is wonderful. I love that. But how many other students have these thoughts and we never hear that. We never know that. And that actually made me cry when he said that. I got choked up. But
So sweet.
I'm the reason my son gets out of bed in the morning, but that's because I'm dragging him out and trying to get him to go to school with me.
That's right. So I know we're coming close to the end of our time, but Andy, just to give you a moment, you know, you were recognized as Sarasota County's District Teacher of the Year. So you're actually, no pressure here, Andy, but you're going to the state to represent a county that has been a high performing county since we've been doing the grade rating. I think that was back in 2003. So Sarasota shows up with a strong reputation. We've had top five finalists and things like that. What would be your platform? What would be your message as you're going in front of this competition and then given the opportunity to potentially speak to teachers across the state and all the partners that support this work? What would your message be to them?
I think it's like something I heard Holly say just, and I think in the last question, when it's about what can our kids do, let's make sure we challenge them and get them to a place where they're accomplishing things that they didn't think was possible. Because if we can get them to that, if we can actually get these kids to achieve higher and higher things than they thought they were possible, that gives them the confidence to go out and be leaders of tomorrow in the world, which is what we're trying to do. We're trying to get them to, you know, the whole point of education. Let's get these kids into our school system. Let's educate them in the best way possible, not just of the content, but of living and how to be better people and how to contribute to society so that society can continue to advance and move forward.
And we can't do that without great teachers. Is that right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Gosh. Is there anything else I did not ask you all that you want to share on this podcast?
I'm just so grateful that the Education Foundation does all of this for teachers and the partnership with Sarasota County Schools is just, it's immeasurable. I'm just so grateful.
Well, we have a fun job. I will say that. Yeah. It's similar to you all, but different, because what we care about is, again, just making sure we're equipping you with the tools you need. And that's exactly what you're trying to do for the students as well. So we each kind of have our part to play, but it is an incredible honor to partner with you all. So just thank you for that comment.
Absolutely. I want to say the same thing. Education Foundation, so supportive of so many things that I deal with. Like you guys, I'm obviously big into the science fair. You guys are huge in that. I wrote a grant this year, a Donors Choose grant through the Education Foundation, which was awarded so that my students can prepare for a science competition that we're going to do. You guys are amazing in all the different aspects that you do. And this is another one that I hadn't experienced yet, but I'm just so glad to be a part of this.
I'm so glad. And I hope that you all also get involved in our teacher network, because we have a whole lot of program work that is actually designed by teachers, because we believe that that's just a place that you all need to be given an opportunity to amplify your expertise within your own collaboration and network. Yeah. Yes, yeah. So we're taking a note from Becky Hoffman.
I would actually like to add on to what Becky and Andy said as well, because that's really been on my mind as far as the Education Foundation. You're impacting the ones who impact the many. And so it's such a trickle-down effect, because every time you pour into a teacher, they turn around and they are better able to pour into their students. And so really what you talk about, the multiplication factor, I've been so impressed throughout this process at every turn, at the kindness, at the warmth, at the professionalism, at the just standard of excellence that the Education Foundation has done everything in this entire process with. And hats off to you, because wow, you guys, you're knocking it out of the park all the time. You really are.
Well, thank you very much. But yep, just know that it comes from all of us, that you all deserve it. So, okay, now we got to end this podcast, but I'm just going to be on a moment to cry, because I just appreciate the feel good. So thank y'all so much for saying that. But listeners, I hope you enjoyed hearing from our amazing Teacher of the Year finalists, elementary, middle, and high school. And certainly we're all standing behind Andy as he's venturing off. Yes, really. We're with you in spirit, and we'll be there in person too. There's a lot going on, and we just know you're going to represent well. You already have. I mean, for years you've been representing, and it shows up in the students that you've been teaching. So listeners, thank you for just giving us your time. Thank you for leaning in and learning more about why teaching is one of the greatest professions ever, and why we need community support continuing to pour into these teachers. If you want to learn more about the Education Foundation, you know, you can always find us at edfoundationsrq.org. And certainly we hope you tune into any of our education conversations through your favorite podcast channel. So for now, this is Jennifer Vine signing off for the Education Foundation of Sarasota County.